Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
If you would find Job 22, go into the book of Job and start there and perhaps look at some other scripture this morning, Job 22. I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning, about living the good life. Right. I think it's something they sang that song, Good, Good Father, because they had no idea I was preaching on this. But He is a good, good Father, and He wants us to have a good, good life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want you to go, and I want to talk to you, because here's what I want to kind of bring across, because a lot of people are looking to have a good life. You know, a lot of people, you know, they'll testify about things that have blessed their lives, you know, different things. And in the natural, just speaking in the natural, you know, I've heard people talk about their diet. You know, how that changed my life. I've heard people talk about they went on the vegan diet. I've had people tell me that, and it just revolutionized their life. And then I'll hear some guy said, I went on the carnivore diet, and that revolutionized my life. And of course, I like that better, y'all get it, than the vegan diet. It's like getting rid of ribeyes does not cause me to have a good life. Amen. So, but you know, they talk about things and then, you know, different things that maybe in the natural that they did that, you know, just revolutionized my life. It just changed my life. My life is so much better. But, and it's like I said, you one will testify of this kind of diet change their life, and then you hear just the absolute polar opposite. How many know vegan diet, carnivore diet are opposites? But I've heard the carnivore people say, man, my health problems went away. I lost weight. The vegan people say the same thing and all this. But you know what? Here's what I found out. You do whatever you want to with your life. Eat whatever you want. But what I found out that there is something in my life that has caused me to have a good life. Amen. And it wasn't a vegan diet. Right. And it wasn't a carnivore diet. Amen. Or, you know, all the other things. I remember I had friends on the Atkins diet for years. I had one friend, we were out to eat one time. He's a preacher. And he told me that he was on this kind of diet. And he said, I only get 500 calories a day. And he's losing weight. And I thought, yeah, you will. Yeah. I told him, I said, I eat more than that just fixing supper. Just on the way there, I ate 500 calories just tasting stuff. You know, it's like, I got to have some strength here to fix supper. So where's the Fritos? Am I the only one that does that? You know, eat while you're cooking. And you know, and all that, you know, if something helps you, if something blesses you, that's fine, not knocking out. But I've just found out that the real truth about it is that there is a way to have a really good life.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. And you know, we see books about how to have a good life, how to have a blessed life, you know. Some are Christian, some are not Christian. And, you know, maybe they contain some truth in them, but I tell you, I want to talk to you this morning about what I found out caused me to have a really, really good life. And it just keeps getting better. And I mean that. My life just keeps getting better. It's like, man, it was good 20 years ago, but it's better today. And, you know, 20 more years from now, you know, I'll be a little bit older. But, you know, if the Lord tarries is coming and I'm still here, my life's going to be even better. Praise the Lord. Job said this, Job, in the book of Job, that is, in the book of Job, chapter 22, look at verse 21, it says, acquaint now yourself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto you. Hallelujah. So here I found this, that good started coming to me when I started acquainting myself with the Lord. How many know you when it talks about acquainting yourself with the Lord, it means getting to know the Lord.
Right.
You know, it's not just talking about, you know, getting saved. Getting saved is the getting on place.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have a good life, you got to keep coming. Yep. And the more you know about the Lord, the sweeter it gets. Yep.
Amen.
We used to sing an old song in Pentecost. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days, or it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Well, when you pursue God and you become acquainted with Him and you get to know more about Him, it just gets better and better. And you don't get stuck, you don't get stale, and it just stays alive. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many know, the more you... It's hard to tell young people this and them understand it, but the older you get in marriage, the more in love you become with one another. I don't know how to explain that to you. But you get so old, Pastor, you can't do anything any longer. Well, some of the things that you young people think is love isn't. Can we just can we say that and let you figure all that out without us having an education class today? Amen. See, when you first meet, he's got thick hair, you know, curly hair, tanned, and a gold chain. Well, let me tell you something. Now, no curse being spoken, but that hair can thin. Exactly right, sister. Before this is over with, all you're going to have left is a gold chain. The tan will be gone. The hair will be gone. It's like a friend of mine says, a minister friend of mine, he's got a little hanging under here, you know. He said, that used to be on my forehead. And it starts shifting down. So no curse being spoken over anybody, but just making a real realistic point. This is the way life is. And so you get old and you look at one another and you see that, you know, well, he's not this hunk that he used to be, you know, and all. But yet, you know, it's like his, you know what I'm saying? Come on now. The six-pack abs is now a keg. Yeah, I'm still a hunk. I'm still shaped. I got a little different shape than I did 40 years ago when we met, you know. And so things change. But here's the thing. That love isn't based on any of those things. It's not based on any of those things. I've got you all stirred up now. I may never get this message back, but you understand. How many get what I'm saying? See, the more you get to know one another, the more you fall in love with one another, right? See, you sometimes, and that's why, you know, a lot of times these people get married, you know, I had a couple one time, bless their hearts. They came to church on Sunday morning, one Sunday morning, and they said, we got married over the weekend. And they could tell I wasn't happy. I'm supposed to be happy about that? You guys just decided to go get married over the weekend? I mean, it's your business. You can do what you can go marry, whatever. It's your business. But I think as your pastor, you would want some input. As your spiritual advisor. And I would have told you, you guys don't know either one. You haven't known one long enough to get married. You don't know everything. You don't know all the good, the bad, and the ugly. You better take a little time and find that out. Because you may not like one another. And sure enough, they didn't. And they got a divorce. And pastor was there to help them. But what he wanted to do was kick them in the rear end and say, why are you so stupid? In love, of course. Why? Because you got to get to know one another. And the more you know the Lord, the more you fall in love with Him. He's just so good to us. And that's what Job said, acquaint yourself with Him. That thereby be at peace. You're going to have peace in your life and good's going to come. One of the things that David told, I mean, David's an older man. He's dying. And the thing he passes on to his son is he doesn't pass on to him how to run the kingdom. You know, I mean, he's going to be king. You think he needs to know about, you know, how to run the... He doesn't tell him about how to run the kingdom. What he told him, he says, Solomon, my son, know the Lord. Know the Lord. Know him. Know the God of your fathers. Because if you do that, all the rest of it will fall in line. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Isn't that something? God's able to... You know what I mean? People want to kind of prize themselves on, you know, their education and so forth. Thank God for education. But look, especially in the spiritual realm, I don't care how much seminary you've been to, how many doctors you have, degrees you have. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know anything yet.
That's right.
It's like a guy challenged me kind of one time. We liked one another, but, you know, he just like... He'd been to seminary and he'd learned things and he had things and all that. He goes, well, where did you go to seminary? I said, I didn't. He said, well, where did you learn from? I said, well, from the Bible and from God. I said, who'd you learn from? He said, well, I learned from Professor so-and-so. I said, well, okay, well, who'd Professor so-and-so learn from? He said, well, he learned from Professor so-and-so. I said, well, who did he learn from? He said, well, I don't know. I said, if somewhere along the line, if one of these guys didn't hear from God, you don't have anything.
Right.
Amen. Now, I wasn't knocking his education, but I'm just saying, Paul said, I count it all dung that I may have the knowledge of Christ, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The most excellent knowledge in the world is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the most excellent knowledge. Amen. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, I think we should be educated, but, you know, but I tell you what, I'm more comfortable with somebody that knows the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Because he can tell you anything you need to know.
That's right.
All right? Now, so Job said, acquaint yourself with him, be at peace, thereby good will come. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And we're going to read just a verse there, but it's a good verse. It's one sometimes we quote, but I want us to read it this morning. Hebrews 11. All right, are you there? Look with me at verse 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we know that verse, that part of the verse. For he that cometh to God, now notice this, he must believe that number one, he is, you got to believe he is. Number two, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What's he going to reward you? Well, how many, anything he rewards you with is going to be a good life. It's going to be good. Amen. So he's a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder.
Rewarder.
How many like rewards? You know, growing up in school, you know, you got rewards sometimes. I didn't get many because I got in trouble. But you get rewards. You get reward. How many are part of a reward program? You know, I don't know. We got some kind of reward stuff. We got a credit card we get rewards on or something and all. And so, you know why they do that?
So you'll use it.
Right. But, you know, we don't use ours like some people. We don't ever have to what am I trying to say?
We never pay interest.
We just pay it off every month. But then they give you rewards.
Right.
Sometimes we get a check for what? I don't know.
$100.
$100. As my financial friend used to say, Dr. Jerry Manning, put that in my fat little hand. All right? So, you know, you get rewards. Well, how many of God's rewards are greater than the world's rewards?
Yeah.
All right? So, and I learned that, especially in my Christian life, that as I sought him, as I went after him, that he started rewarding me.
Yes.
Things started to happen. Blessings started to happen.
Amen.
Because I sought him, now here's the key, diligently, not casually.
Yeah.
I didn't just like, well, if it's convenient. Right? I didn't show up at church if it was convenient. I didn't pray if it was convenient. I didn't read my Bible if it was convenient. I didn't do things if it's convenient, I'll do it. No, I did it because he said do it. Amen. And when you do things because he said do it, and you seek him diligent, he's a rewarder. Yes. And he's got some good rewards. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. He that findeth a wife, I found a wife and found a good thing. And obtain favor of the Lord. How many men can say amen to that? Right? Don't be like, well, Pastor, I know. He was preaching on that verse one time. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He said, a guy in my congregation, this is real, this really happened to him. He said, when I quoted that verse, a guy stood up in my congregation and yelled back at me, tell the Lord not to do me any more favors. I don't know what this guy's marriage was like, but it obviously wasn't going good. But I tell you what, the God gave me I got a favor. Hallelujah. I got a favor. You just don't know how much of a favor God did me. He knew I needed some help big time. Because he knew I didn't pay attention to things. Amen. Amen. I wasn't even paying all my taxes till we got married. I could have had a prison ministry. I remember Phyllis found that out. You know, I was traveling preaching, you know, and getting offerings, love offerings. I never paid taxes on any of that. And she said, you got to pay taxes on it. I said, no, I don't. I said, that's my money. That's whose money they tax. Not your brother-in-law, Billy's, yours. And so she grabbed the bull by the horns and said, hey, you're not doing that any longer. Amen. She loves her man. She doesn't want him in prison. Hallelujah. Thank God the statutes of limitation has passed, or I couldn't be saying this publicly. You know, like it was a huge amount in those days anyway. You know? All right. So, you know, God just, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The Bible says that those that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That's what the psalmist said. Remember, the scripture, seek you first. We just quoted that. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. God just starts adding things to you. I'm telling you, it just pays to seek the Lord. Amen. The Bible talks about a guy, King Uzziah. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Yeah. Amen. Now, go to John 17. Are y'all getting anything this morning? John 17, go there. I know we're looking at some scripture today, but this is kind of the flow that I'm in. John 17, and I want to read there. I'm not going to go much longer, but a little bit. But John 17, and there's a verse there I want us to pay attention to and read. John 17. All right, and John 17, verse 3, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what is life eternal? Or we say eternal life. It's knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom God sent. So let me talk to you a little bit about this, because this is important. We see that phrase, eternal life, in the different places in the Bible. Sometimes we see it translated life everlasting. But the Greek word is, and you've probably heard this, is the word zoe. Z-O-E. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. It has a specific meaning. The word zoe, like this talking about here, that if we know God, this is zoe. What he's talking about, that word zoe, that word means life as God has it. Now listen, life in the absolute sense. W. Vine says, it's life that the Father has in himself, he gave the Son to have in himself, which the Son gave to us to have in ourselves. So it's not, in other words, we think of everlasting life, we think about it's going to be forever. In other words, we major on the time frame. Well, that's part of it, but really what it is, it's a quality of life. Yeah. It's a higher quality of life. In other words, when we, the more we know God, the higher the quality our life is. It doesn't have anything to do with the natural. It has something to do with the spiritual, the knowing God. And so it is a high quality of life that nobody else has. And now see, you can be a believer and you get life. When you get, Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Life and what? Life more abundantly. So that's two things, isn't it? He come that we could have life and life more abundantly. All right, so you get born again, you get this life. That's why everything changes. It certainly did for me. I mean, man, I was just running along, just living like the devil, and got born again at a church, and everything changed. It's like, now I'm not running these along like this any longer. I'm doing something different. Amen. I'm pursuing the knowledge of God. Amen. I'm hungry for Him. You know, and so my life totally changed. I mean, it went from, fear and doubt and unbelief and, death and destruction to joy and peace, and gladness. Hallelujah. So something happened. I got a higher quality of life. Amen. And you don't have to have riches in the natural to have this quality of life. I believe this quality of life starts producing stuff for you. It starts bringing stuff to you. But you don't have to have the stuff to have this quality of life. There's a lot more to life than just having a nice car. God doesn't mind you having a nice car. Matter of fact, God's got a nice chariot. Yeah. So I don't think God minds us. You know why somebody gets a new chariot and people think, well, I don't know. I've heard people say that's just a little too expensive. It's junk to God. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like one Rhema instructor one time said, he said he heard a couple of students talking, and one of them was, he was supposed to be bragging about the Lord, but he was just bragging about all the stuff he had. And the other guy didn't have much. And he said, I'm listening to these two students talk, One of them just talking about all he's got, all the stuff he's got. And finally, the guy that didn't have much, because, he probably had all that stuff because his parents had money. And so the one that didn't have much, he finally said, so what? Your pile of ashes will just be bigger than mine. It's all going to burn up anyway. So this kind of life, it isn't just about natural stuff, although you do get blessed in the natural. I'm not going to lie. God has blessed me in the natural. He's blessed me with things, and I'm thankful. But I tell you one thing, when all those things are gone, if you still got God, you're still rich. Right? See, sometimes I go places to preach, and not in America, although I have been some places in America where it was bad, but, I go maybe overseas or something. All those niceties that I have, all of a sudden, they're gone. I don't have them any longer, but I still got my joy. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I don't have the nice shower any longer. I don't even have one. I don't have the nice food any longer. I don't know what we're eating. I remember one time something falling out of my plate, and one of the missionaries that had been to the country before, I was kind of a newbie there, he looked at it and looked at me and shook his head, no, don't eat that. Just move it around on your plate, all right? We're not eating filet mignon, we're not eating ribeyes, we're not doing all that. But you know what? I'm still just as happy as I was when I was in the city. Praise the Lord. I'm not sleeping. I mean, Phyllis can tell you, she's been with me. She quit going, but she's been with me. She's been with me when we wake up and see daylight coming through the roof. She kept her nose buried in my shoulder the whole night so she didn't have to smell the room. But you know what? I still had the joy of the Lord. Why? Because I have something called eternal life. Zoe, the God kind of life. Now, thank God, you know, I mean, in my world, it's fixed a lot of those things that I didn't have. It's God's blessed me and fixed those things. But that's not the main thing. The main thing with me is I've got the presence of God. I've got God living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Wherever I go, praise the Lord. The Lord's with me. His shield of faith is in front of me. Praise God. And it goes before me. Praise the Lord. It gives me favor. Amen. And so I thank God for these things, that these natural things, but those aren't the big things. The big things is, thank God, I have eternal life. I have the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life, that kind of life living on the inside of me. And see, people sometimes don't understand that. They're like, I don't see how the Lord could change my life. Are you kidding me? Just a drop of this will change your entire life. I just don't understand. I've just been so bound. Don't preach that to me. I did all kinds of drugs. Jesus can change it all. Amen. He can snatch you out of the fire right when you're right ready to go into it. He can snatch you from the jaws of death when you've only got seconds to live. He can heal you, can't he, Brother Dennis? Brother Dennis, what was it was wrong with you? You were telling me, you know, what was going on. Pancreatitis. Dennis and I are having dinner, lunch together. He's got a breakfast bowl, and I've got a ribeye steak, because that's what I ordered. And Dennis gets delivered from pancreatitis while we're eating lunch or dinner, whatever it was. Is that the truth? That's gone, right? How many years you have it? 15 years you had it, right? 15 years. What's the moral of the story? Go eat more ribeye steaks. It's like this lot, eat more beef. No, it just shows you, God, that life is everywhere. You know, it didn't happen when we were in a service and, you know, it would seem real spiritual. We were just sitting at a restaurant and he was telling me what was going on. And I think maybe I just spoke to that in Jesus' name and commanded all that to leave him. And then it left. And now he can eat again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, look, that's that life. That's that eternal life. The life of God. And so, well, yeah, but God only heals good people. Are you kidding me? Who are all those people in the Bible he healed? How about that woman that had that daughter that had seven demons in? You think she'd been living a sainted life? How'd her daughter get those seven devils? You get the devil by hanging around with the devil. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, what about the woman at the well? Jesus said, go call your husband. Oh, I have no husband. He goes, you're right. You've had five and you didn't bother the married guy you're with now. He wasn't condemning her, but he's letting her know he knows. Right. And that she wasn't going to get satisfied drinking from that well. Right. She needed to drink from the well of eternal life. Right. This Zoe life of God. That's what's going to satisfy her.
Amen.
Right? You know, if you've had five husbands and none of them worked out, you need to drink out of another well. Well, men are just crazy, Pastor. You do know that. Yeah, I do know that. But still, you got a problem. How many are with me on that? No condemnation there. I'm just simply saying sometimes we're what is that old country song? Probably not a good one. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Our God, he's a good, good father. I said he's a good, good father. I like that song. That's a powerful song. He's a good, good father. Amen. Because he is a good, good father. And we can have a good life now. Not somewhere down the road. Right? Not when we get to heaven. Because then when we get to heaven, you know, it's going to be good. Well, it can be good now. If you learn to seek God. See, the problem sometimes is we seek so much natural stuff. Now, God doesn't mind us having fun and doing natural things. But that shouldn't be our what we're seeking after. We should seek after the Lord. Amen. Now, all right, let me close out. I want to go to one last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if I helped you tonight or this morning, but trying to. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Are you there? Now, I'm going to read this to you out of the King James, but then I want to read it to you out of the Amplified. King James says, Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus." We're His workmanship. How many think He's probably pretty good at building things? His workmanship. "We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, that's the King James, but I want to read it to you out of the Amplified because I really like the way the Amplified Bible says this. It's, and you can just listen if you don't have an Amplified Bible. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork. We're His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus." We're born anew. "That we may do those good works which God predestined," He planned beforehand for us. Now, listen to this part. "Taking the paths which He prepared ahead of time." So He has paths prepared for us, for our lives ahead of time. But we have to take them. You see that? So you could be a born-again believer and not follow the path or the plan of God for your life. But if you seek Him daily, you'll be on that path. You'll be following that. And God will get you. I mean, God can get you places, right? I've told you this story before. I was wanting to go to I felt like I was supposed to go to this meeting. This is many, many years ago, over 20, 30 years ago. I felt like I was supposed to go to this particular meeting going on the West Coast. But I didn't have, Phyllis and I didn't, at that point, we didn't have the money to go. But I felt like the Lord wanted us to go. I mean, you can feel like God wants you to do something, but you don't know how you're going to do it. And so that's kind of where I was at. I felt like, man, I don't think I'm supposed to go to this meeting, but I don't have the money to go. And so I'm sitting on the porch, and I get a call from somebody in church, and they said, "Hey, somebody in church wants to pay your way to that meeting." Now, I hadn't told anybody. I want to make sure that we understand. I hadn't mentioned it to anybody that I felt like I was supposed to go. I had talked about it. I don't even think I told you about it, but I don't think I'd say anything to anybody. It's just something that annoying inside of me. So they said, "There's this person in church wants to pay your way, fly you out there, pay for a hotel, meals, everything. And they don't want you to know who did it. And so, would you go?" Well, yeah, I'll go. And so I did. Now, I'm sitting in the afternoon meeting. They had meetings morning, afternoon, and then at night. I'm sitting in the afternoon meeting, and the Lord spoke to me, Pastor Chuck. I heard it just as plain as if a person had spoke to me. He said, "I can get you any place I need you to be anytime I need you to be there." So I thought, all right, He's up to something. Because I know You got me here, Lord. I know You got me here. Because I didn't have money to get here. And so I'm here. So, all right, I can get you any place I need you to be, anytime I need you to be there. So I thought, all right, something's up. Well, one of the night services, one of the preachers preached on striking your debt. Wasn't that the name of the message? Striking your debt, something like that, smiting. Maybe it was an afternoon service. Could have been. If you think it was the afternoon service, then that's probably what it was. If I think it's red and she thinks it's yellow, go with her. All right. Because she's usually right. Right. That's one thing about getting older in marriage is you finally learn out that they're right. I should have known it all along. So, amen. And besides that, it's better to be wrong than be unhappy. Right. Amen. You know, how many are old enough to watch The Honeymooners? I mean, that's great marriage counseling, by the way. The Honeymooners, come on, Ralph and Alice Cramden. Well, one time, Ralph was bragging about how he was the boss of his house. I'm the boss. And he told Norton. Norton was his friend that lived in the apartment below him. He said, "Norton, you're afraid of Trixie." Trixie was Norton's wife. "You're just afraid of her." He said, "You're just a mouse." And so Norton says, well, Ralph, I'd rather be a live mouse than a dead boss. So there's a lot of truth in that. Now, what was I preaching on before we got off on that deep stuff? The afternoon meeting, the minister is preaching on striking or smiting your debt, and God did something for us supernaturally in that meeting. Up to that point, we had been struggling financially. Now, I'm not saying that it immediately changed on a dime, but I can point back to that service when things began to change and we began to come out of that. And God had me there for that specific purpose. So the anointing destroys the yoke. Though the anointing in that service, that was in that service, would get off on me and Phyllis and destroy that bondage over our life. And it did. And that's why God said, I can get you any place I need you to be, anytime I need you to be there. Now, you can rationalize and you can think things and say, well, why couldn't God do that in Evansville? Isn't God in Evansville? God, you don't dictate to God how He's going to do something. You read the Bible. He said, go to the widow woman. I've commanded her to sustain you. Well, and she's broke. But I mean, it's not going to. Look, I teach a message on provision. I forget how it's titled, but the gist of the message is this: provision follows the will of God for your life. I had a guy in a church one time. He's in heaven. I loved the guy, and he loved me, but he just got off a little bit, and he's thinking a little bit there for a little bit, you know. He was getting older. You know, I don't know how old he would have been at this time, but he was getting older and he was single and he wanted a wife. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? He wanted a wife. Well, how many know God's able to bring you a wife and direct and get you a wife? So he left our church and he went to a big church in Louisville because they had more women. I mean, this is not a shopping market. This is church. I hope you find her in church, brother, but look. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying this happened, but what can happen when you do stuff like that, you go over there trying to play God, and while you're gone, God brings your woman here, and you're not here. And she might have come. Looked at all the single guys' heads and said, every one of them's ugly. And old Handsome's over there in Louisville. Right? Well, I know we all got different tastes, right? Some guys say, hey, isn't my wife good looking? If you like her, brother, we're good. That's all that counts. I don't have to like her. I don't have to live with her. But you like her? Fine. Praise the Lord. But listen to this. Listen to this identified, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should, now listen to this, that we should walk in them. See, it's not automatic. You got to be following him to walk in these paths. Now, here's what I wanted to end with. Here's what happens when we do that. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. I'm going to say that again. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God has a good life planned for us. But we only walk in it when we pursue him. When we are following after him. When we're doing like Job said, acquaint yourself with him, be at peace, and thereby good will come. Amen. Remember what, this is a scripture you'll find in the Bible bookstores on coffee mugs. I know the thoughts that I think, or some say plans, because the word there, thoughts, means thoughts and planning. So some translations say plans. So I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope or an expected end, or just do you good, to give you a good life. God's got a good life.
Yeah, that's right.
But yet so many times people follow what their flesh tells them, because here's what Hebrews says, that Moses, he forsook Egypt and the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, Moses had the right insight. Moses could have anything he wanted in Egypt. Do you understand that? He is Pharaoh's son. I mean, you know, he's a stepson, or I guess it'd be grandson, because, you know, Pharaoh's daughter takes him and raises him. All right? He's raised up in the courts of Pharaoh. He's got all the wealth you could possibly want. Everything, Egypt was the richest country in the world at the time. Could have had anything. But he realized, I'm forsaking all that because I'm going to pursue something eternal, which will give me more joy, more peace, and more happiness. Sin has pleasure for a season. How many know that's the truth? How many ever used to, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to admit this, you're on camera, but how many used to drink alcohol, maybe heavily? I did. And you know what? There were nights, woo, I felt pretty good. But in the morning, the season was over. It was a real short season with some real bad consequences. I did what? We did that. You don't even sometimes remember what you did. How many know? That is such a low life. I'm not calling people low lives. I'm just saying it is a low quality of life compared to coming and worshiping the Lord and serving Jesus and feeding on His Word and being in His house. All that's just low life. You do stupid things. You do dumb things. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Man, I've been shot at. I mean, I made a guy. I still don't know why the guy got mad at me yet to this day. But he starts shooting at me. Hits my car. I'm hearing, bing, hit my car. Well, what was he mad about? I don't know. When you don't have a gun to fire back, you just get out of there. But when I get saved, I look back and say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me alive. I don't know how I ticked that guy off. But, boy, he was hot at me, hot enough to shoot and kill me. Amen. That was such low life. This is the high life. Amen. So, I don't know. Maybe your vegan diet helps you. Maybe your carnivore diet helps you. Maybe your South Beach diet helps you. Maybe your Atkins diet helps you. Maybe your peanut butter and jelly sandwich diet helps you. I don't know. But I can guarantee it doesn't give you this kind of life. This is the high life.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.